Testament first this morning. For our scripture reading, Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So if you go to Matthew and turn left, you should get there really quickly. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi gives us, as the last of the Old Testament prophets, he gives us a prophecy of the first of the New Testament prophets, which will be John the Baptist. We'll be talking about him today. So Malachi chapter 3, listen to verses 1 through 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner. He will purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then look at chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This is the word of God. Now you can find your way to John chapter 1. Let's pray together. Father, on this day we come as those that you have called. We come as the Church of Jesus Christ. We come, Lord, humbly before you. We know, Lord, that you have spoken to us through your written word that speaks of your living word, Jesus Christ. And we want on this day our focus to be upon Him, upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For He deserves all praise and all honor, all worship and all glory. And so, Lord, as we hear this message today, may it be, in the words of John the Baptist, may it be that I would decrease and He, Jesus Christ, would increase. That people would not so much see the preacher here and the words that I bring, but they would see Jesus and the message that you have for us today through your Holy Spirit as you speak to us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, that He might be exalted. Amen. Amen. Here we are in John chapter 1. And here at the beginning of the Gospel of John, as we said over the last couple weeks, John the Apostle is introducing to us Jesus Christ. The first 18 verses of chapter 1 are what we call the prologue of the Gospel of John, and there he summarizes a lot of what he's going to teach, what he's going to bring out in the narrative of the Gospel of John as we learn about the life and times of Jesus Christ. But as he's giving us this introduction, we've found that it is a... Well, John is using symbolic language. He presents Jesus to us as the Word, the Life, the Light. And each of those titles, each of those names, refer to His deity. As is said in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Each of those names reveals that Jesus Christ, the one who in verse 14 he will say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and in verse 17 where he identifies him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we see that each of those describes Jesus as deity, as God Himself, God the Son. And so we've seen that the Word, as the Word, He is the Word because He is the communication of God. It is how God has revealed, He is how God has revealed Himself to us. He is the Word. He is the Life because He is the very eternal life who gives life to every man. He is the life. And He is the Light because He is the one true illuminator. The one who illuminates, who shines the light of all spiritual truth and all spiritual reality. He is the one who shines forth as the light. And He will later say in His first letter, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And the Word here, Jesus Christ, is that light. And so as we think about what He's been teaching in this masterpiece, this glorious portrait of the Son of God here in these first 18 verses, I want you to be thinking about those things. He is the Word. He is the Life. He is the Light. Listen for those again as I read verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What a magnificent portrayal of the Son of God, isn't it? The one who is the Word, the Life, the Light. And John will continue this description of Jesus down in verse 9. Where he says, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. But right in the middle of John describing this magnificent portrayal, this masterpiece of this glorious portrait of Jesus Christ, he kind of interrupts this exposition of Jesus to introduce to us someone else, John. Listen to verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. It seems abrupt to us that as he was describing these wonderful things about who Jesus is, and he continues doing that in verse 9 and following, that right in the middle he would take time out to tell us about John. And John Piper raises the question of why. Why would John do that as he's writing his gospel here? Why would he interrupt this wonderful description of the Son of God to introduce to us John the Baptist? And Piper reasons that. He says the effect of the way that he wrote it is to make crystal clear at the very outset that God's way of letting the light of Christ shine in the world is through a human witness. Did you hear that? I think that's profound. God's way of letting the light shine in this world, of letting the light of Christ shine in this dark world of sin, is by or through a human witness. And so he introduces to us that witness. God's way of pushing back the darkness and shining the light of Christ comes through a witness of a man. Now, it didn't have to be this way. God could have caused the light of Christ to shine some other way. At his birth, God had called the angels forth, and they came to the shepherds, and the angels proclaimed, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest," they said. God could have proclaimed it by angels. He could have written the gospel in puffy white clouds all across the sky if he had wanted to. He could have caused the wind to talk. But instead, God chose to call and to send a man to bear witness of the light. And he still does. And so, as we look at this passage, the main point of my message today is this. If you don't get anything else, this is what you can write down. We'll repeat it at the end so you won't miss it. God has chosen to use human witnesses to bear witness of the light so that the world would believe. The outline of my message today is very simple. We can summarize it in 3 points. The messenger, the method, and the motive. The messenger, God sent a man named John. The method, John came for a testimony, to bear witness of the light. And the motive, the aim of the testimony, was that all might believe. The Apostle John is going to, as he gets down to verse 19 through really through 34, or really through the end of the chapter 1, the Apostle John is going to narrate the story of John the Baptist and his ministry for us. But here he introduces him as the witness to the true light, who is Jesus Christ. And what I notice as I look at these 3 points that we're going to cover today: God sent a man named John. John came as a witness to the light so that men might believe. those three points John's going to elaborate on in the narrative about John the Baptist. First, John the Baptist is a man sent from God. But he's not the light, as he says in verse 8. And so we're going to see there that he's a man sent from God. And then John's going to tell about his being sent from God in verses 19 through 28. Second, John was to bear witness to the light. And we hear his testimony, what he says about Jesus Christ. We're going to see in verses 29 through 34. And then thirdly, John's aim, his purpose was of bearing witness to the light. His purpose of bearing witness to the light was that all might believe through him. And we see the result of John's witness as some of John's disciples and some others believe in Jesus. And we'll see that in verses 35 through 51. And so let's begin looking at the first point today, the messenger. God sent a man named John. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So here we meet John. Now this is not John the Apostle, the one who wrote the gospel here. This is the one that the synoptic gospels, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, call John the Baptist. Now, the gospel writer here, the Apostle John, never calls John the Baptist John the Baptist. Instead, we might think of him as John the Witness, because that's who he presents John to be. Now, John does record the baptizing work of John here. You can see it in chapter 1, verses 25 through 33, as John is baptizing there. You can see it in chapter 3, verse 23, chapter 4, verse 1. He talks about the baptizing work of John, but he never calls him John the Baptist. Here in verse 6, John simply introduces him as a man sent from God. A man sent from God. And immediately we notice the contrast here. Or at least I did as I was studying through this, and we had just been talking all these exalted things about Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the light and the life. And we have seen how Christ is the eternal one, how he was equal with God the Father, how he was with him from the very beginning, how he was God in his essence, in who he is. And then we have this contrast with John. Christ, in verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. He was from all eternity. He was. The word there meaning was is a word that he existed from all eternity. But in verse 6, we have John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. In verse 6, he doesn't say, as he said of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. Instead, he uses a different word than he uses for Jesus. Jesus, the word in the Greek is ein. It means he existed. In the beginning existed the Word. But John came. The word is agenitaud. It's the same word that is used back up in verse 3. In verse 3, where he said, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That's the word there. John was made, just like everything else in this world. Jesus wasn't. We see this great contrast between who Jesus is and who John is. Christ was from all eternity. John came, was made. In verse 1, we saw Christ is the Word. But in verse 6, John is a man. In verse 1, we saw Christ Himself is God, and the Word was God. In verse 6, we have John sent from God. He is not God. In verse 4, we have Christ is the light. In verse 9, He will call Him the true light. John came as a witness to the light, to testify about that real light. Christ is the one, in verse 7, that we must believe in. You'll see it again in verse 12. But as many as believed in Him. Christ is the one that we must believe in. John is the one that they believe through. John is the agent that brings the message, the witness about the light, so people will believe in the light. They don't believe in John. They believe in Jesus. So there's this great contrast between who Jesus is and who John is. And maybe that's one of the apostles' purposes here, is to show us that great contrast. Jesus is so much greater than who John is. Even though John, the Gospels will tell us in Matthew chapter 11:11 says, Jesus Himself said this about John. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist." That's pretty great. But Jesus is greater. You see, John may be a great man, but he's only a man. Jesus is the Word who was with God, who was God from the beginning. He alone is that true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so John emphasizes these great differences between John the Baptist and Jesus, the Son of God. And so in verse 8 he says, John, was not that light, Jesus, okay, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. He says it, in verse 8, he just says it forcefully and decisively, categorically, he, John, was not the light. And although throughout the fourth gospel, as we study through it, we're going to find that John presents John the Baptist in a very positive light, he also is very careful to point out the place of John the Baptist in the whole picture, that it was subordinate to the place of Jesus Christ. It could be, as some have conjectured, and with good reason, I think, that there may have been some people that John was writing to that may have considered and were followers of John the Baptist who really had not come to trust in Jesus Christ or thought that John the Baptist was the ultimate teacher and the ultimate prophet and the one that they just stopped with John's ministry and didn't go on to Jesus. We meet some of them in the book of Acts. You can read in Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19, as Paul goes to Ephesus, we find that there are some there who were followers of John the Baptist. This is some 25 years after John is dead. He finds followers, disciples of John, who are not disciples of Jesus. Weird, right? And so somewhere in the church, there may have been a group of men who wished to give John the Baptist too high a place. John the Baptist, although we're going to find here, John the Baptist is going to give them no reason to do that. He's going to give them no encouragement to put himself up on a pedestal. The fourth gospel, I think as John writes it here, he knew that there is always a tendency, listen, there's always a tendency among people to worship men, even godly men. It can still happen that men may worship a preacher rather than Christ. It can still happen that men's eyes would be fixed on the herald rather than the king that he is proclaiming. John the Baptist, I think, was not to blame for those who held him up too high. But still, it can happen. Now look down to verses 19 through 27. Listen to how John confirms he is not the light. Verse 19, now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed. That's really strong there. He confessed, did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." Did you notice how many negatives John piles up there in those verses? He says, "I am not the Christ. I am not. No, I am not worthy." In John chapter 3, verse 26, turn page over there, we have John's testimony of his relationship to Jesus. Verse 26, it says, "And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified,'" they're speaking about Jesus, "'behold, he is baptizing.'" Although we know it's not Jesus that's baptizing, but his disciples do that. We're going to learn that in chapter 4. But it says, "He is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John, you ought to be worried about this, right? Verse 27. "John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom," that's who John thinks of himself as, "who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." That's John's testimony. You see the point? It's not about the messenger. Ever. It's about Christ. How easy it would have been for John the Baptist to seek some of that light shining around Jesus when he came on the scene. Yet he resisted that glory and made certain that he only reflected Jesus' light to those in spiritual darkness. God sends human witnesses like John. It's God's design. It's God's purpose for His people that they would testify of Jesus Christ, just as it was God's purpose that John would bear witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the commission all over the in every one of the Gospels. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age, he says in Matthew. In Mark, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. In Luke, he says that the law and the prophets, all of these things were to be proclaimed for the forgiveness of sins, that people would believe. The end of John, he's going to say, as the Father sent me, so send I you, as we sang in that song earlier today. And so God sends human witnesses. He always has. But listen, it's not about the witnesses. Ever. It's about Christ. We are not the light. He is the light. John was not the light. Christ is the light. It's fine to give your testimony, to tell people about how the difference that Christ has made in your life, but keep the focus on Christ. It's not about you. We must always point away from ourselves and point to Jesus. We must decrease. He must increase all the time. We have to make much of Jesus. We must not make much of ourselves. Paul had that same attitude in 1 Corinthians 3, 5. He's writing to the church there that was split up with different factions, and some were following one leader and some another. Some were following Paul, some Apollos, some Peter. Some said, oh, we just follow the Lord, you know. And he says in verse 5 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers, servants there is what the word means, through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. See where the emphasis is to be? 2 Corinthians 4, 5, he says, for we do not preach ourselves. I like that. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants, as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Spurgeon said there was no light from John except what he reflected from his Lord. All the light comes from Jesus. Every man who comes into the world with any light borrows it from Jesus Christ. There is no other light. There can be no other light. He is the light of the world. Beware of the witness that needs attention for himself. Beware of the preacher who constantly angles to put himself in a good light and returns again and again to his ministry and his achievements and who he knows. Beware of the preacher's subtle preoccupation with himself, or even when he speaks of his own flaws. Beware of your own bent towards love of the praise of men. It's not about you. We see the messenger, a man sent from God. And the truth is that God is still sending witnesses witnesses to the light. 1 Peter 2:9 says about the church, about us. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a His own special people. Listen why. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's still calling witnesses. It's His church. It's you. So that's the messenger. Second, we see, number two, the method. John came to bear witness of the light. Look at verse 7. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Here we see the method of the messenger. He is a witness. In the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see who John is. But in the fourth Gospel, in John, we see why he is. We see his purpose. His purpose is not primarily to baptize. I think he would maybe even be disturbed that we call him John the Baptist. Because his purpose was not to baptize, but to serve as a witness of Jesus Christ. That's who John presents him as here. In fact, 14 times here in the Gospel of John, the word witness is connected with John. You'll find it in verse 7, 3 times. You'll find it in verse 15, verse 19, verse 32, verse 34, chapter 3, verse 26, chapter 5. You'll find it 5 times about John. And then those verses, 14 times John is spoken of about as a witness. It says, this man came for a witness, to bear witness. You notice it doesn't say he came as a witness, he came for a witness, because the emphasis is not upon the witness, the person, it's upon the witness, the position, and the task that he's given. The emphasis there is not on the man that is the witness, but upon the message of his witness. Does that make sense? John 1:15 nicely summarizes the content of John's testimony. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now look down the page a little further into chapter 1. We'll see John's testimony. This is what he says about Jesus. Look at verse 23. He calls him Lord. Now that's significant, because he's going to quote here from the Old Testament. And he's going to quote a verse that has the word Lord in it from Isaiah chapter 40. And that word Lord in Isaiah chapter 40 is referring to the Lord God. It's the word Yahweh or Jehovah in the Old Testament. It refers to that covenant name of God. And he is saying that he is preparing the way for the Lord, and he points to Jesus as Lord. He's the Lord. He's God. Look at what he says in verse 23. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He points to the Lord. Verse 26. John answered and said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. That's his testimony. He is greater. He's so much greater, I'm not worthy even to untie his boot. Verse 29, here's his great testimony. I love this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What greater testimony could he give? He knew that Jesus Christ had come to die for sins and be raised from the dead. That He was the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, because the Savior that we need is a Savior from sin and death and hell. And the only way that that could happen is for Jesus to die for us. And John gives that testimony. Look at verse 30. "This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." Do you get the idea? That's important. He keeps repeating that. Okay. Verse 31. "I did not know Him, but that He should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." Verse 32. "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. And I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Now listen to His testimony, verse 34. "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Amen. That's His testimony. Again, in verse 35, "Behold, the Lamb of God," He says in verse 36. That's John's testimony. What did he testify? He bore witness of the light. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The focus of his witness was always on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that has to be our focus also. Who Jesus is and what he has done to save sinners, that's our focus. We preach Jesus Christ, crucified, raised from the dead, Lord over all. No other message has the power to save. So we've seen the messenger, we see his message. Finally, we see number three, the motive, the aim of his witness, why he came, what the witness was to do. In verse 7, "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." Believe's an important word in the Gospel of John. John's going to use that word 78 times in this Gospel. Believe. This is the first time he uses it. Remember that to believe in Jesus Christ is the purpose of the Gospel. It's the purpose for why John wrote what we're reading today. Remember in chapter 20, verse 31, he said, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and that the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." You see, John's whole life pointed to the truth and the worth of the one who was to come after him, Jesus, the Son of God. God would send him. God would send John so that people would believe in Jesus. John witnessed to the truth so that we would believe in Jesus. John burned with zeal so that we would believe in Jesus. The gospel was written so that we would believe in Jesus. Says that all through him might believe. Through him refers to John there. Now you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Do people believe through a man? Yes. People are saved by believing in Jesus. But believing in Jesus must come through a witness. Remember Romans 10:17? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Three verses earlier in John chapter 10, verse 14, Paul writes, "How then shall they hear?" How then, he says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Unless there's a witness, unless someone comes and tells them about Jesus, unless there's a witness, how can we believe? John came bearing witness that through him people would believe in Jesus. And that verse has the word believe there. You'll notice it's in the subjunctive mode. That means it's a mood of possibility, not necessarily of reality. What I mean by that, it says all might believe. That's God's heart. All. Now, John is not saying that all will believe, but all might believe and be saved. Our great, our gracious God, as 1 Timothy 2:4 says, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Peter says in his second epistle that God is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why it's essential that we preach the gospel, that we give a witness to everyone. Nobody needs to be left out. Everyone needs to hear the good news about Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, that He was raised from the dead to give us life, and if you believe in Him, you will be saved. Everyone needs to hear that message. Because anyone might be saved. Anyone might believe. Not all will, but all might. We bear the witness. God does the saving. You don't know who will believe. You don't know whom God will save. So we bear the witness to all. That's why we talk about missions. It's why we take up those special offerings 3 times a year. So that people could be sent out to the uttermost parts of the earth and tell those who have never heard. That's why we talk about telling our neighbors and our family members and our friends and people that we don't know. And we begin relationships with people for the very purpose of being able to have that opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Because everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. John's motive, purpose of his witness, is that all might believe. So keep those points in mind whenever you have an opportunity to bear witness. First, God sends human witnesses. It's necessary. It's His plan. We must be witnesses. Secondly, the witness is not about you. Tell people who Jesus is. That He died to save them from sin and death and hell. That He was raised from the dead. They can have eternal life in Him. Our witness is always about Jesus Christ and what He has done. And thirdly, seek to bring people to believe in Jesus. Don't just have a nice discussion with someone and leave it at that. Encourage people to put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation before it's too late. John in the John the Baptist in the Gospel of Luke, speaking about Jesus Christ who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, he says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he is ready to gather the wheat into his barn and to take the chaff and burn it with unquenchable fire. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You need Jesus. Come and be saved today. Believe. Call upon them to believe. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the message that you have given us today. The example of John the Baptist, but more than that, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, giving life to everyone who trusts in him. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today who does not have that saving belief in Jesus Christ, that today they would repent, turn away from their sin, and turn to Jesus Christ and say, save me. Lord, today you would do that as they trust you with their heart. Father, I pray that those who are here that have heard this message and it resounds with them as they are already believers in Jesus Christ, maybe, Lord, that you are calling them to be a part of this church and say, this is what I want to be about as well. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts about that. They might come and join this church and be a part of what you are doing of spreading the gospel through this body of Christ. But you do your work in our hearts during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.